This morning, what I want to talk to you is what something's about. What is it about? And I want to give you a brief synopsis of what Crossroads is about. What is Crossroads about? And it's not about French cultural history, I promise you that. And it's not a poem either. Crossroads is something that existed before I was ever here, that's for sure. And in its versions, before it was even called Crossroads, it's been a part and a ministry of our church. So to understand what Crossroads is, you have to understand what Grace Community Church is. And Grace Community Church, in its present version, dates back many, many years, over 50 years. Our church has been around and been pastored by the same man for 44 years. Dr. John MacArthur has pastored this church and led it faithfully and has emphasized expository preaching, has had a worldwide impact in his ministry, and the extent of this church has reached around the world. So you can't talk about Crossroads without talking about Grace Church. Grace Church is a unique place. There's not a lot of churches like this church in the world today. The things that we emphasize, the way that we do things, our commitment to the scripture are all part of what defines us. Well, Crossroads, as in its ancient versions, had always been a ministry focused on college students. And our church has always had great regard for college students. Pastor John told me once that for many years, in the early years of his ministry at Grace, there was a great effort to reach out to and evangelize student athletes at the universities in the area. And so they would come from over the hill and come to church here. The entire SC football team for several years came to church at Grace Community Church. How times have changed in the worship practices of football players. It's true. Sorry if you're a football player and you're here worshiping. You're just not that crowded with other football players. That went weirder than I thought. I'm not knocking it or putting it down. I'm just stating it. Our church has always been about reaching students for Christ, and that was an early mark of Pastor John's ministry. He spoke regularly on campuses and to groups of students and young people. And so our church has always had that emphasis of reaching students and ministering to people in their various stages of life. In 1998, approximately, this ministry changed its name from College Life to Crossroads, mainly to represent that this wasn't just a ministry that was made up of college students anymore, but it was made up of lots of people from lots of different walks of life and different stages of life. Probably more significantly, it was in that time that just in culture, there was recognized a change in what a college student's what a college student was, with the prevalence of vocational schools, with the minimal number of people who go to college for 4 years, but more like five or six or seven or eight or nine. All that is to say that the landscape of college students was changing, and internships, apprentices, all the like kind of influenced what our group is made of. And over the years, we've took a number of surveys to say, who is it in the gym? And it's always a mix of college students and post-college students and people who wouldn't go to college if you could pay them, and everybody in between. There's always been young families in here, people who serve in here as mentor staffs, who have a heart for college students. That's what Crossroads has always been about. And so the name was changed to represent that. And that's still the way it is today. Now, Crossroads merged with our singles ministry at one point in her history a few years ago, and some of you are still a part of that. Some of you even got married, and you're walking around like you own the world, and we're all very proud of you. Good job. So that's what Crossroads is about. It's a it's a compilation of so many different kinds of people in a subset ministry of our church that seeks to reach people for Christ and to evangelize the lost and to build you up in your faith. Everything we do, we want to be complementary to the church. And so in formulating some thoughts about what Crossroads is about, I just wanted to give you three categories with about three subpoints on each. It's a preacher trick to have 9 points. But you call it 3 points and 3 subpoints. So we're going to do these 3 little points, and I want to talk to you about what Crossroads is about, and then I want to introduce you to our Bible study leaders. So let's just go through these together, and hopefully this will be helpful in helping you understand what we're aiming for here, what we're trying to achieve, and what we're all about. Now, the first thing that Crossroads is about is reaching up, reaching up. Ultimately, we are about God. That's what we're about. And maybe that sounds simple to you. Maybe that sounds silly. But that's the example of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel was preached by Peter right after Pentecost. And he said this. This is such a powerful sermon. God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who were accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then follows that brief paragraph describing what Christians did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That last paragraph is usually brought to a believer's attention to look at what the church priorities are. But the priorities of fellowship and apostolic teaching and the unity and commonality that believers had all find their roots and foundation in the preaching of the Apostle Peter. Basically, that preaching was the gospel. That preaching was centered, riveted on the fact and the revelation of who God is in Christ. And so what we must be about, what we are about as a church, what we're about as a fellowship group or a Sunday school class, what you're about in the Bible studies that you meet in that go from this place, ultimately, we are a God-centered people. We are entranced. We are utterly riveted by God himself. And so when we talk about reaching up, we're ultimately talking about God and our response to him, which is called worship. We use the word worship in here regularly, and often we refer to worship as the part of our service that's under the direction of either the good doctor Clayton Erb next door or the good doctor John Martin up in here. And sometimes you get corrected, right? Well, worship isn't just singing. It's not. And you're right, worship is all Godward activities and events, even thoughts towards God. In the Bible, you could lean on your staff and it can be considered worship. It's a very general word that speaks of bowing towards God. It has in it connotations of service as well. Acts of worship in the Old Testament could be sacrifices. But Christians are not wrong when they think of singing as worship. They are wrong if they think that's all that worship is. But singing is central to worship. And we sang first hour this morning great hymns from the history of the church. And we sang in here this morning also some great hymns, some of them old and some of them new, all of them reflective of hearts that desire to express to God realities that with our own words and with our own weaknesses, we cannot place with the kind of prose that it's due. And so we borrow words, we borrow songs, we sing them together. And lots happens when we worship God in song, when we gather together in corporate prayer, and when we sit under the teaching of the word. And all of those things are called worship. Crossroads will always have a priority of worshiping, of singing, of declaring and submitting to the greatness of God. I'm so grateful, and I know you are, for John, who leads us, John Martin, who leads us in our music time in here. And our church has benefited from his ministry for a long time. This is the John Martin part of the message, which will be weird for him, but fun for us. John, I just feel like you don't get enough attention. That's all. So here's the fun part. John has so faithfully led us and so thoughtfully led us in song for a long time. I don't know if there's many people here who remember the gym without John Martin. Raise your hand if you remember the gym without John Martin. Yeah, it's like a patch of really, really old people. And I mean that in a nice way. John has been part of what God is doing at Crossroads in teaching people to appreciate and adore God, specifically by way of congregational singing, but in many ways as he's used his gifts in this place for a lot longer than I've been around. In fact, this year marks John Martin's 10th year of leading worship in Crossroads. And that's something that I think deserves to be acknowledged and appreciated, and I think that would slip by our minds if I didn't say that. And I know you guys love John and Lisa, but I just wanted to pause in my little What is Crossroads thing about reaching up and talking about worship to say how much I genuinely appreciate you, John, and your leadership, not just of our music, but of men in our ministry. You train not just musicians, but men. And I'm deeply grateful for your partnership in ministry. And I know we all benefit from that as well. Right, man? Amen. So, like I said, this isn't a sermon, this is a thing. So I'm allowed to talk about John Martin. The other thing I just have to talk about while I'm up here and we're having a talk day is we got to talk about John and Lisa. You know, they're having a baby next month, and that's cool. It's really cool. And this is just an example of something that transcends, you know, what John does here. John's been on staff, off staff, part-time, full-time, part-time, off staff for these 10 years. He does what he does, not because we pay him to be here. He does what he does because he loves to serve Jesus in this way. And he's had a lot of different jobs over these 10 years. Right now he does, just works here a few hours a week. He does music for us and he does all our media stuff. So if I've ever been funny on film, it's because of John's creative genius. This part of their life is such an exciting part to be a part of, though, because for 10 years they've been married and they've prayed to God that he would grant them a child, and he never did until this year. And this is such an exciting opportunity that God is answering their prayer, that they would get to meet their little daughter and hold her. And so we're just upholding them in prayer and so excited for them that we want to just, we hold up babies in Crossroads. So I've asked Lisa to come up. I'm going to hold her up and it won't be weird. No, we're not. But John, will you come up here? Actually, I do have something in my pocket for you just to make this even harder for you. John, come on up here. Come on up here. This is a present from them and me. to you guys to just help you with some of the things you're buying for your new house. It'll buy you like 1/18th of a refrigerator at Lowe's. So they just got a house and John's been hammering for several months now, getting ready for baby. So I just am so grateful for this couple and the influence they've had on our ministry over these years. And I know you wanted to express your thanks to them on this kind of special anniversary of their service in Crossroads. So this is the part where you guys can clap loud for John and Lisa. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. So ultimately, we're talking about worship, and we're grateful for that man who leads us in song, and we're grateful for all of those ministers of the gospel who lead us Godward. That happens through preaching, that happens through prayer, that happens in Bible studies, it happens in conversations. Ultimately, Crossroads has to be about reaching up. It has to be about this vertical dimension. And that's not a small statement because so many ministries, both to collegians and young people and married people, and even whole churches, you can attend and you can be involved in, and you can experience all the various facets of ministry that they have for you, and programs and activities and stuff like that. And you will be utterly starving for God. I've ministered in churches in my life where God was not present there in any meaningful way apart from his general omnipresence. The service was not geared towards God. God was not considered in the people's thoughts and how they lived. And so we are a blessed people because Grace Church is a God entranced, a God honoring, a God aware congregation. And our ministry, no matter what we do on campuses or in homes, needs to ultimately be centered and focused on the worship of God. Psalm 73, verse 25 or so, says, "Whom do I have in heaven but you? And on earth I desire nothing beside you." Look, you got stuff in heaven. If you're a Christian, you've got stuff in heaven. You've got rewards in heaven. You have beloved people who have gone to be with the Lord in heaven. So David isn't saying there's nothing, I'm sorry, Asaph isn't saying there's nothing in heaven, nothing else there, just God. I mean, heaven's going to be a real physical experienced place. What he's doing is he's comparing heaven and earth. He's talking about all of it, because if you're not on this physical realm, you're in that spiritual realm, and he's saying everything in between, ultimately, for the one who has an awareness of God, an awakening to God, every place is about God. He is the fulfillment and chief end of all our desires. Whom do I have in heaven but you, and nothing on earth do I desire apart from you or greater than you? From the heights to the depths, believers must be about God ultimately, and we worship him in word and prayer and song, and in proclaiming his gospel like Peter did at the start, we do to this day. Well, that takes us to the second part of what Crossroads is about, just trying to define it for you to give us something to hold on to here. And the second part is reaching in. We're about reaching up, we're about reaching in. Galatians 4:19, Paul writes to the rascally Galatians saying, "My little children, for whom I labor in faith," again, it's this language of a pregnant woman, really vivid language of someone just struggling for the sake of her children. He adopts the metaphor to himself. All the work of his life, all his ministry, all his preaching and teaching, every opportunity that he had to boldly proclaim the gospel, to be rebuffed by his critics, and to build and plant churches, all of it, he thought of it as labor that's worth it for the sake of the one being born. And so he said, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you," is a good definition of what it means to reach in. What we're trying to do in these fellowship groups, and it isn't a contest, if you're wondering, between one fellowship group and another. There's no Olympic events coming up. If there was, we would obviously win. I thought that was funnier too. What's up with us today? We got to grow into this. All these groups are trying to do ultimately is foster Christ-likeness in you. Sometimes that's done in a group like this that focuses on Sunday mornings on preaching. And the reason I preach in here on most Sundays, not this one obviously, but on most Sundays, is not because I've got some kind of attempt to improve on the sermon that we heard together first hour. Not even close. In fact, it's one of the great humiliating experiences of my life to preach right after that happens. Of my life. It's the second most great humiliating experience of my life. My first was when I was preaching at a church that I was positive there had to be someone there who was a remnant, who was like a solid Christian, and I was ministering there, and I was really hoping that someone was getting it, and I was preaching pretty regularly there, and I was preaching one day, and I just thought, God, there has to be somebody here who gets it, somebody here who loves the Bible and believes good doctrine, and I lit myself on fire, preached, and then, you know, slopped in a sweaty heap at the end. And this elderly couple came up to me, so sweet, I'll remember them for the rest of my life. They came up to me and they said, wow, we get what you're trying to do here. We believe like you believe. And I'm like, yes, the remnant. And they said, we just really like your preaching. We like the things you're emphasizing. And I'm thinking like sovereignty of God, faith alone, the actual biblical gospel instead of psychology. And I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about scripture and believing hard things that go in the face of the culture. And they're like, we believe like you believe. And I'm like, tell me more. Tell me more. They said, you're our favorite preacher. In fact, you preach just like our daughter. And the conversation kind of went downhill from there. If you don't know why that's funny, you need to stay in Crossroads more. Well, you'll learn things about doctrines such as complementarianism. You'll learn why we don't believe that women should preach. Nobody's daughter ought to be preaching, in our opinion, because that's what the Bible clearly says. And that's not because we're sexist kind of Christians. It's because of our hermeneutical approach to the scripture. And so part of reaching in, part of having Christ formed in you, is making sure that we're teaching the basics to segments of the congregation. That's why we preach in here. The next series that we start is on October 13th. We just finished Jude because I wanted there to be a concern for discernment among our Crossroaders, especially those on campus constantly inundated with false teaching and weird cult groups, but also for those of you in the workplace. Your coworkers believe different things than you, and so you need to know how to respond to apostasy and how to respond to heresy, and so we focused on the book of Jude. Starting October 13th, we'll focus on 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to do a series of 12 messages on the doctrine of love. And we will come to see the preeminence of love in our fellowship and in our work and in our worship and in our relationships. And every aspect of life intersected with love becomes a tremendous point of conviction and growth. And so everything we do is for reaching in. It's to form Christ. It's why we hold scripture in high regard. That's what they do in the Bible studies. That's what they do in discipleship relationships, which are merely spiritual friendships determined to build one another up and further one another in Christ. Our worship extends to the impact it has on one another. That's what John 3:16 says. Not that John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, that's my favorite John 3:16. You only get a couple to pick from. But 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. You see, true, genuine, upward living will always lead to an inreach, a concern for one another, a desire to help one another, to disciple one another, so that every avenue of discipleship, both from you to someone else and from someone else to you, would be constantly met in your life. You should be able to say, this is how I'm being discipled. These are the men who speak into my life. These are the women who speak into my life. And you should be able to say, this is how we serve one another in love. This is all part of reaching in. It's building a sound and strong ecclesiology, because most of you who are here attending college will be long gone 4 or 5 years from now. You may not stay in Southern California, but one thing that ought to be a constant in your life is what you do on Sunday mornings. And so we want to form, and part of reaching in and building up, form a sound, robust doctrine of the church. It's why I'm constantly reminding you that Crossroads is not enough. That if you've been to Crossroads, you haven't really been to church. You've been to a class at church. You've been to part of the church. You've been to one of the very active ministries at our church. But first hour is when we meet for congregational worship. And if you're not a part of that, you're cutting yourself off from not only one of the greatest expositors in the world, not only from such a unique church body, you're ultimately cutting yourself off from God's most ordinary means of giving you grace. It's the church. You need it. What we're doing in here is to complement that. It's a part of that. It's a strategic element of that. The third part of answering what Crossroads is about, reaching up, reaching in, is ultimately reaching out. You could look at the Great Commission, or you can look at Matthew 5. We're to be salt and light in a lost world. What we believe is different because our authority is different. We believe in the face of everything the culture finds valuable and precious. Our terms of justice are different because they're God's terms, because he's our authority. And we are people who have been commissioned by the God of all authority to be involved in ministry, to serve in such a way that reaches out beyond the walls of our church into the lives of others. Call it ministry, call it missions, call it making Jesus famous. There's lots that we do here in Crossroads that are part of outreaching. Sometimes a missionary will waddle up here and I'll interview him, right? Missionaries waddle. It's because they're persecuted all the time. And you may wonder why we do that. Why we burn in 10 minutes of clock time when I could be singing praises? Why are we doing this missionary thing? Well, we interview missionaries in here because I am so concerned that some of you would really understand the significance and have a strong doctrine of missions, so that when you go to wherever you go, you'll see your role there as a missionary and a supporter of missionaries. So that we promote STM trips in here because you are some of the few people on the planet who can take 2-3 weeks off in the summer. I mean, that's an extraordinary privilege that is going to be taken away from you very, very soon. 2-3 weeks off in the summer, you can go to South Africa and you can go serve in Albania in a former dictator's home, all of this to make Jesus famous. You can go on a Sunday afternoon down to USC Medical Center and other places where we've been able to minister to people, or you can help with the hungry children, and all these opportunities that come before us to reach out into the world are all examples of us being salt and light. And so Crossroads accomplishes this through this Sunday morning gathering, through all our events, none of which are ultimately fellowship, because fellowship is what happens in those events, not at those events or because of those events. It's that commonality and love. But the biggest way that we do these things is in our Bible studies. It's in our Bible studies. And so I want to take the remainder of our time and introduce to you our Crossroads Bible studies. That's what we need to do. So if the men would put themselves around the gym, that would be greatly helpful. Go ahead, men, put yourselves around the gym. And Chris G, with all his athletic abilities, is going to distribute the microphone. And I want to introduce you to our Crossroads Bible studies. You may say, why don't we just get on the internet? Because they have this kind of stuff on the internet. I assume you guys planned this out. You're like looking at each other in a very threatening way. The reason is because I want you to hear from our shepherds' hearts. These guys, we call them Bible study shepherds. They serve in conjunction with a mentor staff at their study, an older couple usually, or several older couples that are there to reach into your lives, to be a good example of marriage and family to you, to be an example of mature Christianity to you. Some of these studies are on campus and are strategic in their evangelistic reach. Some of them are in homes and are really seeking to provide for you a home away from home, a Christian family that you can be a part of. And so I want to introduce you to not just to these studies, but to the hearts of these men. Well, there's the Bible studies. Again, what is Crossroads? Crossroads is about reaching up, reaching in, reaching out. And the way we do this primarily is at these Bible studies. The name was chosen and it's still suitable. Crossroads. There are so many people in this room who are making decisions about their life that will impact the rest of their life. And that's what it means to be at a crossroads. And it has the word cross in it, so that's cool too. But mainly what we're trying to do is we're trying to help build you guys into the church for life. And we do that through building these relationships and providing these opportunities for discipleship and ministry. And that's what we're all about. The decisions you're making now will be the biggest decisions of your life. And it's funny that God has ordered it that way, that you choose your career, you choose the person you'll marry, you ingrain in yourself the habits that will mark the rest of your life in these early years, these early 20s, these 18, 19, 26, that segment of time is when you're making those kind of choices. And so you need to be around the right people in those times. You need to learn the kind of friendships that will uphold you and strengthen you and keep you fixed on what needs to be right in your life. You need to have the right standards of entertainment and godliness. You need to learn to detest worldliness at this age. And so we want to be about all these things in Crossroads. And that's what all these guys leading these studies are all about as well. And so it's with that we land a few minutes early so you can, if you don't have a Bible study yet, find one of these guys. Everybody's going on retreat next weekend, so we will not be meeting in here second hour, but we'll be back the week after with our friends from UCLA land starting their semester as well. So let me pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for these men representing so much good spiritual leadership. We have a deep gratitude for all those in this room who are committed to mentoring and leading and discipling younger people and of being discipled and taught and led. And so, Father, may we always be followers. May we always be learners. May we always be disciples who are following after that master teacher, Jesus. Make us, God, we pray, like Jesus in our actions and thoughts and attitudes, and conform us to the image of your Son. We ask this for the glory of Jesus. Amen.